ball spark. You want good words? Data Languager.
Talk real sports with a real man.
Come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
And now, here's the be-all, end-all, know-it-all of high school, college, and pro sports. Aaron Skinny Calc with The Skinny on Sports.
We're talking about practice, man. I'm the MVP.
Good Thursday morning out there, Western Oklahoma. Welcome to The Skinny on Sports right here on 98.1 FM, The Sports Animal. Glad to have you along for the next hour. We're going to talk about all kinds of stuff. College football discussion on ESPN's website. Article I read this morning. We'll talk about, we'll ask the questions and have our answers. Who, and here's the questions. You guys can be thinking about it and fire in your ideas on the text line, 225-9698. The questions are, what team around the country will exceed expectations? Who will underperform? Which conference has the most to prove? And then I kind of took a question they asked and changed it up like this. When Oklahoma and Texas are in the SEC, which means the Big 12 will add BYU, Cincinnati, Houston, and Central Florida, is the group of five done? Because those four teams are kind of the year in, year out, group of five contenders. You know what I'm saying? Like, as far as playing in the big bowl games or even in the playoff, like Cincinnati did this year. Is that the end of it? Or who could step up and fill that void and crash the playoff party? So we'll talk about that over the college football stuff. Final four. Man, one of my favorite dudes in entertainment is making waves. Not see the Eric Church story?
Oh, yeah.
Eric Church making waves. Talk about that. Thunder. That's what I'm talking about. Thunder, just give up 85 in the first half, and there's no chance you can come back. They lose to the Hawks last night. Cool deal. Oklahoma public high school teammates playing in an NBA game together.
That is cool.
Pretty amazing when you really think about it. And then there start to be discussion in the NBA circles. When you look at how bunched the East is at the top. I mean, we were making fun of Boston for being terrible 30 games ago, and now they were at the top of the Eastern Conference standings. They just put together a really nice streak. But there's that monster lurking down in the play-in situation, the Brooklyn Nets. Do you really think teams are going to tank at the top? We always talk about bottom tanking. Get to the bottom. Get to the bottom. Do you really think there can be teams that'll tank at the top to avoid them?
That's a great question. That's a great question.
You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
like
the, they
like
don't the, wanna, yeah, they don't like want to talk was, the first round.
The talk was like Boston giving up the one seed to be the three to be guaranteed to play like Chicago, mm-hmm. you know, or Cleveland. Instead of having it, but here's the problem for those teams. You have to get clear to three. Because if you're one or two, you don't know if the Nets are going to be seven or eight because of the play-in.
Right. Well, the same question could be applied to the Clippers.
Well, if Kawhi would come back, right. Which doesn't seem like it's going to happen. George is back.
He looked great.
Oh, yeah, he
that
played
first
awesome.
Game back.
But it's interesting.
Good, I mean, it's the same question there. You know, do teams at the top really want to see them in the first round?
Well, the problem is the difference, though, one and two are set. In the West, because they're so far ahead.
Right.
Yeah, like Phoenix, they're done. They're locked in. They're nine games ahead of Memphis. Mm-hmm. But at the top of the East, you know, at one point, just a couple days ago, there were four teams tied with 28 losses. And since then, Boston's lost two in a row. And that's what kind of sparked. Now, all of a sudden, you look, Boston went from first to fourth. Did they do that on purpose? Because they sit a bunch of guys? And here's another question I heard the guys talking about yesterday. With regards to Toronto, you know, there's still that rule. Well, it was all talked about in New York City about the vaccine rule that has now been squashed.
Oh, yeah, still up there.
Toronto still has it. You can't go there if you're unvaccinated.
Oh, dear, yeah.
So now are there teams that know they have unvaccinated players that are going to have to avoid Toronto?
Oh, man, you'd hope not. You'd hope this.
It's not changing up there.
I know.
So, like, if you're Philly right now, Philly is third, Toronto's sixth. So that would be the first round matchup. What if Harden and Embiid aren't vaccinated? Philly's got to do something to change. You know what I mean? They can't be there. Or win all four home games.
What a mess.
It's a mess.
Pretty
Come intriguing.
On, Canada. Blame Canada.
We can blame Canada for a lot now. Back then it was kind of a joke. Now it's serious.
Very serious.
So
come on, buddy.
There's some interesting things there in the NBA playoff race with just a few games left. Bruce Arians retired. Kind of a shocker.
Darth Vader. I call him Darth Vader because he always had that little thing on his chest where it looked. I thought, man, all you're missing is the mask. But yeah, he's calling her quits.
Do we really believe the company line? And the company line being spit by him is that this has been in the works. They just had to make sure that there was some sort of rule they didn't violate by doing this at this specific time. Or do we believe that Tom Brady got him canned?
I got some heavy opinions on all that.
What if, and here's one more question on this. If you don't think Tom Brady got him canned, wouldn't you assume Brady came back to play for him? So now does that mean Brady doesn't play, or does Brady start demanding a trade, play somewhere else? If that happens, where's the best spot? I got one. I've got a spot, and he doesn't even have to go far. 225-9698 is the phone or the text line. 225-9698. Give us a call. Shoot us a text. We can talk about any of those things. Whatever else might be on your mind, feel free to chime in at 225-9698. If you're going to be outside the listening area, a couple ways to stay in touch with the show. One of those is log on to KADSAM.com. The other thing is to log on to the Paragon app. Download the app. You've got all things Paragon. Radio stations, Penny News, Big Elk TV, Paragon TV. Also, you have the Skinny on Sports podcast. If you missed the show entirely, you can check that out on KADSAM.com or also on iTunes. All right, so Bruce Arians calling it quits as the coach, moving up into the front office. So not necessarily getting away from the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, but is getting off the sidelines. And the company line appears to be that I saw he's always been about the succession plan, and he wanted to give Todd Bowles the best chance at succeeding. And so when Brady came back, he immediately thought, okay, it's time now. They just had to wait a little bit to suffice some sort of rule. He didn't really say that what rule, but anyway, that's the company line. This was always in the works as soon as Tommy came back, and nobody's surprised by this inside that building. Do you buy that?
Kinda. Honestly, you would think that the greatest of all time GOAT himself, Tom Brady, wouldn't do his homework a little bit on this. Or someone would have cued him in and go, listen, I know you want to come back, but just heads up. Bruce is probably going to retire here. So, you see, I mean, you wouldn't, he wouldn't, I think all the stones were turned over. If you're Tom, I think everybody's. I kind of buy it. Yeah. Do you not? You smell something fishy going on?
Oh man, I just
in the Bay of Tampa.
Why? I guess why would Brady want to step back into a situation that now becomes a little bit unknown? I realize Bowles was there as a defensive coordinator, but it's going to be different. It won't be the same because it's not the same setup. And so why would he do that?
Well, I think Tom Brady, more or less, when he decided to come back, he thought, and this has always kind of been a stance with him, in my opinion, is I have nothing left to prove.
Then why play?
I just want to play. That's the thing. He just wants to play.
But he doesn't just want to go out there and play like it's intramural.
Sure.
He wants to win.
Sure.
And with this happening, the losses on the offensive line that they've already sustained, I'm wondering if – I don't think Tom Brady forced Bruce Arians out.
Okay.
I don't think that.
I don't think so either.
I don't think that happened. Now, I think what's going to happen here in the next few weeks will tell us if you're right, that he knew this was the plan.
And he's sticking with them. And
or if he's a little bit blindsided by this.
Yeah.
And if he's blindsided by this, the signal will be, hey, I don't want to play here.
Have we heard from the Tom Brady camp?
I saw one, kind of a goodbye letter to Bruce Arians, talking about respect and how he enjoyed the way that he did things, and so on and so forth. Okay. I think this is going to be super interesting. Because I'm not sure, I just don't know. I don't know if Tom Brady knew this. And if he didn't, I could see him wanting out. So where would he go? Who would take him?
Well, I think you know where he'd fit in.
Miami,
yeah.
Miami would be the perfect spot.
Listen, I'm kind of halfway kidding here, but I mean, does he still have the arm strength we talked about that Tua lacks?
The last throw he made down the sideline to Mike Evans looked like it.
But can he? Yeah, I know. Yeah, can he do it all season long, all the time that's required of him? I'm questioning his age. I'm doing it.
Okay, feel free to do that.
You know,
and
he's
also
so good,
and also
he's
feel
so
free to eat a big old giant black bowl of crow when we're in here in February talking about him winning his eighth Super Bowl
with the Dolphins.
A great point on the text line. And this isn't Tom good enough, no matter who the coach is. Yes, I think so.
I agree there.
I think he is, but I also think that he, in his mind, and probably in my mind too, that he has earned the right to kind of do whatever he wants. Does that make sense? I mean, you know, he can just quit again, or for real, and just not play if he doesn't like the situation. And maybe this is all much ado about nothing, and you're right. He knew this from the get-go. He signed off on it. And he can't wait to play for Todd Bowles. It seems a little fishy to me that this would happen now after he agreed to come back. And, you know, like I said, in the next couple weeks, if nothing happens and we get to the draft and the draft goes off without a hitch and then, you know, then all of a sudden you're at OTAs and nothing's happening – Then the answer is yes. He knew all about this and he signed off on it.
Mm-hmm.
If you start hearing those rumblings that he may not be as happy as you thought he was, then maybe he didn't. Maybe he's a little bit surprised by this. And then, does he stay or does he go? There's no doubt about this, though. This has been the craziest NFL offseason of all time.
Yeah, we're not even out of March.
We're not even to the draft.
Yeah.
Who knows what's going to happen at the draft? Heck, I saw a bunch of stories about how the Jets and Chiefs are going to make some sort of deal so that the Chiefs can draft probably Drake London to fill the void at wide receiver. Some mega deal. That stuff hasn't even started yet. The awesome rumors about, oh, this guy's going there for this pick. And you know what? We're still a month from that.
The Bills are getting a new stadium. Kansas City wants out of Kansas City. We haven't even touched on that.
Our pets' heads are falling off.
Oh, man.
But
Jerry Jones has an illegitimate daughter. I mean, we haven't even scratched the surface, really.
I mean, we didn't really get into the fact that the Browns might have traded for a serial sexual assaulter.
Oh my goodness.
To get rid of a guy that won a playoff game for the first time for 26 years. Yeah. I mean, we didn't really delve into what that could mean.
The video that was leaked of his deposition. Holy. What a man. It's like, as the world turns in the NFL.
Yes, yeah. All we need.
Get amnesia.
Yeah, Stefano to come back. Or maybe Hope doesn't remember Bo. That's Days of Our Lives.
Out of the shadows, Tom Brady has a evil twin brother.
Rom.
Crazy. Yeah. It's just nuts. Just nuts. And entertaining. And we're talking about it.
That's the great, that's the thing about it. It's so entertaining.
Yes.
And with the change, like, it's going to take, I promise you that even on the first week of the NFL season, you're going to be watching a game and you're going to go, oh, yeah, that guy's on that team. I totally forgot that.
Yeah.
Because we paid so much attention to the top level. I mean, that, that you're
it's like forget. Baseball, you know, like, oh, I forgot that guy got over there. Because, you know, baseball happens all the time, the time.
But the difference
it's
is
part
it's
of the game.
Baseball.
Right.
Nobody really pays attention. This is the NFL. I mean,
no one pays attention outside of their favorite team.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, this is the NFL. You normally know.
You know everybody on everybody's
team. That's right.
Yeah.
But there's
you're
been so
used to people in jerseys and wearing helmets. Mm-hmm. And absolutely.
Well, and the truth of it is the major guys don't usually move. So you can always count on certain things. I mean, my gosh, you could count on Russell Wilson. Okay, who's on Russell Wilson's team in Seattle? Whoa. Damn, he's in Denver. Never mind.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah.
You know, it's like, wow. So
and outside of Russell Wilson, now that Von Miller's gone, I don't know. I can't name anybody else on. You probably could, but for Denver, standout player outside of Russell Wilson.
Jerry Jeudy. Does he stand out?
Yeah,
he was good in college.
Yeah, he was.
Surtain was awesome last year as a corner.
Yeah. So,
but your point is right, though. I mean, there's going to be people that you forgot. Oh, yeah. That's right. Marcus Williams is now on the Ravens.
Can't wait. And then the draft.
Yeah, it's still a month away.
And then the draft, and then we're going to plug those players in. And we think we know. We're going to go in the draft night. First round, we think we know who's going where. You know, we'll probably get some more curveballs and more of movement with other players.
Oh, you know there is, because of the teams that have, what was it, Philly, the Jets, and the Giants all have multiple first round picks, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you could easily see those guys moving around. And if there was, and it doesn't seem to be, although Malik Willis is picking up steam. But if there was one of those guarantee or supposed guarantee can't miss quarterbacks, then this draft would be really fun. Because there's no telling what would happen. With Jacksonville first, they clearly don't need a quarterback. They're not going to draft a quarterback who would give up. I mean, you got to almost feel sorry for Jacksonville in the sense that there's some people behind them that could do something stupid, thinking they could draft like if this was next year,
yeah.
And teams had multiple first rounders, and teams that aren't necessarily sold. You know, I don't think anybody thinks the Giants are dead set on Daniel Jones forever. Probably too early for the Jets to cut bait on Wilson. Although you don't think so, you didn't think so from the very beginning with Zach Wilson, and then. What is Philly? I mean, is Philly sold on Jalen Hurts? I saw some numbers yesterday that in the first seasons, his numbers are comparable, if not better, than Lamar Jackson's. But nobody is comparing.
Come on.
But you wouldn't think that.
You just did that with Baker, and now they're already cutting him loose.
But I mean, you wouldn't
comparing numbers.
But you wouldn't think that.
No, you wouldn't.
You would never think that.
Same thing about Baker. You wouldn't think his first two seasons were comparable to Brady and someone else.
Yeah. but you would think, oh, yeah, Lamar Jackson's way better than Jalen Hurts. Well, maybe not. Now, that doesn't mean that we're going to see Jalen Hurts win a MVP in his second year. But, you know, that's just the wishy-washy part of this. And then when you really start digging into the numbers, I heard him say yesterday, a guy called in. This is a great question because we all sit here and talk about how important it is to draft a quarterback, your franchise quarterback in the first round, you know, got to move up, da-da-da-da-da. In the last 10 years, how many quarterbacks won the Super Bowl as a first-round draft pick for the team that drafted them?
I'm going to get zero.
The answer is two.
Two.
It's a pretty obvious one.
Brady?
Brady wasn't a first-round pick.
Oh, first-round pick. We could be here all day.
Mahomes.
Right.
And Joe Flacco.
Joe Flacco. That's it.
That's it. And there's normally, what, four or five quarterbacks taken in the first round every year?
Yeah.
It's pretty yeah. interesting how much stock is put into doing that and how few times it actually comes through.
Yeah. It's a crazy NFL world.
But until somebody proves that you can win without a great quarterback, none of this is going to change.
No.
And yeah. who's going to be that? Who can do that? You know, Tannehill had a chance with the team in Tennessee this year, and they flamed out in the first time in the divisional round, proving especially who they lost to. It was Joe Burrow and the rest.
Joe Burrow appears to be – he could be the next guy on that
Maybe
list.
Maybe he is.
Almost was.
Right. It's interesting because as much as the quarterback is the certain thing, it's not a sure thing by any stretch. And so maybe even a cautionary tale for those teams for next year that want to give up the farm to draft C.J. Stroud or Bryce Young or whoever else emerges as a first-round, top-of-the-draft guy. Also interesting what's happening in San Francisco.
With Garoppolo or
yeah,
what they're going to do with him?
What are they going to do? Trey Lance? Is he going to be the quarterback? Is he not? Wouldn't you, if you were Trey Lance, wouldn't you feel a lot better about life if they'd have gotten rid of Garoppolo to guarantee that it's your job?
That is, and where does he fit? Where does Jimmy G fit?
I mean, as much as we'll sit here and defend or tell you that Baker Mayfield ought to be somewhere, Jimmy Garoppolo, team success trumps what Mayfield's done.
True.
Made it, you know, in one Super Bowl and had a 10-point lead this year in the NFC Championship game on the road to make another. And nobody wants him. Or nobody wants to pay him what they're paying him or what they'd have to do to get him. But if you're it's the same situation. If you're San Francisco, you're not going to cut him. It's like Cleveland not going to cut Baker. Why would you? You can just have him on the team. But, the difference is, I think in Cleveland, you've got kind of a double-edged sword. One, you might need Baker Mayfield for the first six games of your season because your new quarterback's is suspended, if not more. And then if that's not the case, the other positive is it feels like Watson is understood to be the starter. No questions asked. I don't think that's the same way in San Francisco. What is because it's the other way around.
Yeah.
The guy that hasn't proven anything is the assumed starter, whereas the guy that's taken you to a Super Bowl and an NFC title game two of the last 3 years is the guy on the outs. And that seems to be, to me, that would cause a lot more consternation and problems in locker rooms and all that kind of stuff, mm-hmm. easily dividing that locker room.
Yes.
If things don't go well to start with Trey Lance. Whereas in Cleveland, I don't know if you could divide it. I mean, maybe to me, the move for Watson – how suspect it might be, but that brings everybody together around one guy. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So it's super interesting.
It's very interesting.
And we're a month away from the draft.
Yeah.
Will Tom Brady be a Buck this year?
I am 99% sure yes.
I think yes is the answer, but I hope not.
Just so you can be right.
Just so it'd be awesome. See him play somewhere else. I mentioned Eric Church. Man, is he making waves. So here's what's happening. He had a sold-out show down in San Antonio on Saturday.
Okay. Sold-out show.
A sold-out show, San Antonio, Saturday. As soon as his native North Carolinians, the Tar Heels, notched their spot into the Final Four, he sent out alerts to all of the folks that had bought tickets to his show, announcing that he was going to cancel that show. But also, with that announcement, came a refund. immediate. Because he wants to go to the Final Four game in New Orleans between his beloved Tar Heels and the Dukies. So, let me ask you this. Do you have a problem with him doing this?
So, he can't postpone or canceled?
Canceled. Sitting back the money.
Because he's going to go to the Final Four.
Correct.
Well, part of me got a problem with it, and the other part of me doesn't. You got to kind of put yourself in their shoes. But, you know, this is what he does. He's an entertainer. He's had this scheduled for how long? Should have probably known, you know. He roots for the Tar Heels.
Tar Heels.
He's got to know there's always a chance. I don't care if they're an 8 seed or a 1 seed. There's always a chance that Tar Heels can make a run and get to, it's North Carolina basketball, for crying out loud. You know, maybe be more conscious of that if he starts planning. Maybe his tour manager, whoever, starts setting these dates. He needs to black out some dates because, I need to keep this date open just in case. So, but the, you know, other part of me is like, man, he's given them. Is he giving them enough notice? He's given them a full refund. I think I'd rather hear that he just postponed it and is going to make it up. I'm kind of on the fence of it. What?
Oh, my gosh. Who cares? The truest blue blood is not there anyway. Yeah, it's because they got beat by St. Peter's in the first round, Hunt. Thanks a lot for your advice on my bracket, by the way, if you didn't hear that a week and a half ago. I trusted the Cats, and that got me nowhere.
I've been to a concert where the band playing, all of them were huge OU fans, and I went on a Saturday game day when they were playing. And now, albeit it wasn't a playoff game or a Big 12 championship game, but it was a game, and it was a pretty good non-conference game. It was Miami at Miami. Remember that one? And from what I could tell, they played. It was Kings of Leon. They were playing, and they basically had – I could tell they had a TV on the side, and every once in a while they'd come back in and give us – or they'd say, the score is this, score is this. But they still gave a great concert. I mean, they made it work, is what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
So there's ways that maybe Eric Church probably thought, you know what, maybe I could have a screen on and still look, glance over, check out the score, and still give my best show I can give. So but I think I'm – the more I talk this out, I think he should have been more conscious of a date – and what it may conflict with.
Okay, let me ask you this. Let's say he was, but the date was Monday. Oh. Conscious of the finals.
Yeah.
Willing to miss the semifinal for the final. But here's what's happened. The semifinal isn't just any semifinal. The semifinal's Duke and North Carolina.
Yeah, that's a historic thing right there. You know, we've mentioned how it's the first time these guys have met in the tournament.
K's last stand.
Yeah. That's why I'm on the fence about this.
I am too. And here's a great point on the text line. It's one thing for him to immediately refund the concert tickets. But what if it's somebody from Oklahoma City that's flying into San Antonio for that show? What happened? You know, they've got those tickets now. They've got the hotel reservation money shelled out.
Or even with today's gas prices, they're
or
driving.
Even driving.
You know, they're
that's
losing
right.
a lot of money.
Well,
in gas.
Listen, you don't have to drive because it's not till Saturday. Now, if you wanted to make, you know, if he's announced this, what, yesterday, the day before. So unless you're just going to spend a week in San Antonio, you cannot do that.
I understand.
But there's a lot of things that go into this. Here's the thing. If it was me and I was in his shoes, I'd do it. I'd absolutely do it. And, you know, if that cause, I know that'll cause some certain fans to get mad at me. So be it. Because this is Duke. And this is North Carolina, and it's K's funeral in my mind, and I get to be a part of seeing it. In a lot of ways, this is bigger
than
winning the title.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Now, I promise you, even if North Carolina wins the title, more people are going to remember they beat Duke in the semifinals than they'll even remember that they won the whole damn thing. Who, let me ask you this, Jared, who did the United States hockey team play in the semifinals in 1980 Olympics?
That was Russia.
Who did they play in the finals?
Finland?
Think that's right, but are you sure?
No.
I know. That's the point. That's the point. And listen, this isn't that in the grand scheme of things, but it is to Duke and North Carolina fans. I mean, here's one. Who did the Red Sox beat in the ALCS in 2004?
Yankees.
Who did they beat in the World Series?
Cardinals.
It was the Cardinals. But would you have rather been at Game 7 in Yankee Stadium or Game 4 at Busch Stadium?
Yeah, Game 7, of course. Game 7.
Right. So I get it. And I get the fans that are mad, for sure. And there is that aspect of, you know what, it's his job. He's just missing the day of work. You know, but you can't call in sick if you're at church. Because you know why? I heard Kerry Murdoch making this point, and I couldn't disagree.
Yeah, that's right. It was Finland.
I couldn't disagree with this more. He's like, why? He would look better if he just called in sick. No, he wouldn't. No, he wouldn't. Because they'd show him on TV.
Yeah, you're right.
He can't get away with it.
Straight up.
I mean, they may not show him on TV. Probably will now, after this has happened. But there's always going to be that chance. You weren't talking about mad.
Yeah.
Everybody thought he's sick, and then they show him at the game. At least he got out in front of it and was honest and gave back money. Now, for those that, like the text message brought up, you know, the flying and the hotel, yeah, that's just, I don't know what to tell you about that.
But and it's, you know, it's always written on tickets or online, I guess, nowadays, when you are going online, said, hey, concert date subject to change.
Yeah.
Subject for possible cancellation. There's always that. I mean, mm-hmm. That's the risk you take. It just is.
My
wife and I, we've had tickets to go down to see Kenny Chesney for 2 years.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
God bless him. He's just pushed it back, and finally going to get a concert, God willing. But, you know, but it was on there. It's like, hey, you know, this could change. And it did twice.
Well,
I just kind of wish he would have postponed instead of just straight up canceled.
So, yeah, because
hotels might have honored, say, okay, listen, we understand.
Well, but you don't, I mean, in the spur of the moment decision like that, you don't know what's available at that venue and all. I mean, there's a lot. And maybe he'll reschedule it down the line. But, yeah. I don't know what that does. If there's certain ways to track who had the tickets and they get first right of refusal to come back, if they would or if they wouldn't, whatever. I just think if this was just a normal old situation, I would have a lot less positivity toward Eric Church. But because it's this situation, hell, even if it was just a normal Duke and Carolina in the Final Four for the first time, but it's not. Not only is it the first time, but it's also going to be the last time for K. I mean, all these things coming into play is where I don't really have a problem with it.
It's Eric Church.
I mean, who wouldn't want to be there?
It's Eric Church. It's not like it's George Strait. It's not like it's...
Now, listen.
It's not like it's... Come on.
I'm going to tell you something.
It could be worse. It could be Morgan Wallen, who's like the biggest country star in the world right now.
You better stop. If you're going to sit here and blasphemy Eric Church on these airwaves, you better stop it.
I mean, he's no Dierks Bentley or anything.
No, thank God. He's much better than that. Much better than that.
He's no Walker Hayes.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy. Well, it was nice knowing Jared on the show. Eric Church is over the line. Anyhow, I would do it if I was him. If I was, you know, I mean, it would be like 20 years down the road at some point where you had a concert ready to go, and it was OU Texas for the title in Barry Switzer's last game. That's what, or Bud Wilkins. That's what this is.
Yeah.
Except for it's not for the title.
Right.
I mean, that's what this is.
Yeah.
Fix to get Will Smith for downing Eric Church. That's right. That's right. Get off of Eric Church. He's awesome.
Oh, he's okay.
Oh, dear. Certain people don't even know who it is.
Hey, how about the morning guys on this? They were talking country music the other day, and they kept calling Morgan Wallen Morgan Whalen.
Yeah.
I'm like, come on. He's all right.
I mean, we always appreciate listeners. I'm gonna need one guy who doesn't know Eric Church to go win a baseball game today, huh?
Oh, come on. He doesn't know who Eric Church is?
No.
They don't play that between innings over there?
Guess not.
Well, they need
He's also rooting for K. I don't know if we're going
to
be able to support that type of thing on this show.
Wow.
May have some breaking news here. I'm going to wait. I'm getting it.
Yeah, I'd wait to confirm. Or I'd confirm to before I went to air with it.
Yeah. Oh, dear.
Little teaser there.
Oh, man.
What's up?
Getting told Dierks Bentley's better than Eric Church. Come on, people.
That's
one of the worst takes.
I mean, I was kidding.
That's a bad
take. I
like
them both, but I don't know if that's a true statement. I like them both. Dierks Bentley is fun at a party. Have that on. But so is Eric.
Eric Church has great music.
Yeah. I don't say
hell of a view.
I don't say
listen
Alexa next when Eric Church comes on.
No, it's not Luke Bryan for goodness sakes.
That I can agree with.
next,
yeah. Alexa, never play this music again.
Yes, Alexa, no Luke Bryan.
No Luke Bryan.
Matter of fact, Alexa, nothing but Eric Church in my mind.
Play the best of. Yeah. But he'll make it right.
Yeah, I think
so. Those country guys usually do.
That's where I'm a little surprised he just fired the money back, and I'm wondering if it's because like there wasn't a date suitable. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And speaking of Morgan Wallen, I think they're on tour together.
I think they kind of like
here and there.
Yeah,
because I've seen them doing that Morgan Wallen song.
Right. But here's the thing, man. Well, like anything in the media, major national media, it's the smallest voices are the loudest. And so this is a headline-grabbing topic. Are we really sure that a bunch of people are that upset? Or are other people going, you know what? I understand. I'll get over it as far as the attendees of this concert. You see what I'm saying?
Yes.
It's just, this is a headline-grabbing, oh, he canceled his concert to attend a basketball game.
Mm-hmm.
The people who wrote the headline probably don't even know what game they're talking about. The implications of it all, like you just said.
Now, there is a fair chance that that's true.
So, it could be much ado about nothing.
Interesting.
This is interesting, too.
Yes, it is. Well, yeah,
I understand
it?
Now.
You getting it? Yeah.
Because it's only a
seven
team.
That's
okay,
correct.
So can we? Is this?
I'm going to verify that.
Okay, we're going to confirm.
I'm going to verify that.
We're going to confirm some breaking high school athletic news later, maybe within the next 10 minutes if we're lucky.
Yeah.
If not, first thing tomorrow morning, or in your sports report tonight. Who knows?
Oh, there you go. Forgive me, but the skinny on sports is the only radio I listen to, so that's why I don't know who Eric Church is. it's good to have good buddies, huh?
It's great. We are taking donations. And
okay, so let's get to the tanking at the top.
Tanking at the top.
Tanking at the
NBA.
Top of the NBA and the Eastern Conference specifically.
To avoid the good at the bottom.
That's right. So if you know, the Celtics raced up to the top, then lost two in a row. Now they're clear back and forth. And there's multiple things going on here. One, it's obvious teams, if you don't want to play the Nets, why in the world would you want to play the Nets in the first round? If you're like Milwaukee, say, so right now, the way the standings would be, Milwaukee is the 2 seed, so the Nets would play in the first play-in game. Let's assume they win. Bam, they're the 7th seed. So it's a 2-7 matchup between Milwaukee and Brooklyn. And you're thinking, ah, well, the Milwaukee's the champs. Well, guess what? If Kevin Durant's shoes were 16.5 instead of 17, that wouldn't be the case. Because think back to Game 7 of that series last year. Durant hit what we all thought was the series winning 3. And it turned out it was a 2 by a toenail with the foot on the line. Mm-hmm. And that allowed Milwaukee to win that game in overtime and then go on and beat the Suns. So Milwaukee knows how hard. And guess what? That was with Durant, no Kyrie, and Fat James. So you know they got healthy Kyrie at the very least now, and Durant. So if you're those teams, do you do that? Would you rather be the 3rd seed, which guarantees you a first round home series, not against Brooklyn, but then, you know what? Maybe if you do that, you assume Brooklyn is going to win the first round series, and then you will have home court. But let's assume they don't. Then you're going to give up home court in the second round just to avoid playing the Nets in the first. Do teams really think that?
I think it's on their mind, but it's kind of going back to how we talked about tanking in Oklahoma City and why win a game and all this stuff. I think it's going to be so hard to tell Giannis and company, guys, it would help us if we lose this game today. In the long run, to defend our title, they're going to look at you like, are you crazy? We're going to go out there and try to win every game we can. And they probably have the mentality of, I don't care who we get in the first round.
Right.
We got them last year. Let's go again.
Yeah, and here's what's crazy. That 3, the scenario I was playing
it
out.
Seems like a weak way to try to win a title, like to avoid competition. Don't true champions want the competition to say, we went through the toughest competition to get that title?
No, they don't.
That's why it's a weak league.
Listen, no, that's just the way it is. Because if you're looking at the East right now, would you rather be the 1 or the 4, which is Miami and Boston, or would you rather be the 2 or the 3, which is Philly and the Bucks? Obviously, you would want to avoid that. If you could.
Yeah.
Avoid playing, having to beat the Bucks or Philly in one or the other, and then another. You know what I'm saying? Now, eventually, you got to get there anyway. I understand that, too. But the further you put it off, the better chances one of them might get upset. And then, yeah, your path is easier. I just think it's going to be hard to do because of the play-in stuff. You don't know who's where.
Yeah.
Like, if you knew, if it was just the top 8 and that was it, like it used to be, then maybe you can kind of jockey that around. And here's another thing to throw in. The Toronto, the vaccination status thing. Toronto's 6th. So if you drop to 3rd to avoid the Nets, what if your guys aren't vaccinated? Then they can't go play. You know, there's a lot going on there at the top of the East, outside the fact that there's a whole bunch of good teams. Think about this. The Hawks. The Hawks are 39-37. You know what that gets them in the East? 10th.
Yeah, they're in 10th right now.
You know what 10th is in the West? 31-44.
Right.
13 under. That's the Lakers. Hawks are 2 over. They'd be the 8th. They'd be the easy 8 in the West, and that's playing the East schedule, which is clearly harder. Mm-hmm. I think it's really there's some interesting things. Like the tanking isn't just the crappy teams. I think there's some maneuvering to kind of avoid certain matchups. I think it's always been that way. It's just more talked about now because we're so used to the tanking at the bottom that now you can kind of see the tanking at the top, if that makes sense.
I could see a win-win situation where, let's say, and I don't know the schedule, so forgive me, but say the Dukes are the two. See, I got college basketball. The Bucks are on the West Coast playing a 9:30 tip or a 9 o'clock game, our time. And the Heat are at home. And it's a situation where, or the Sixers are at home.
Right.
And they get their games done, and the Bucks know, you know what? We got one more game here. It's against Portland or whoever. If we lose, we avoid Brooklyn.
Right.
So let's rest.
Mm-hmm.
Let's rest and lose. You know what I mean? I now that's a win-win for them. To rest and lose. I can see that.
Yeah, I think it's always happened. All right, let's go to the college football. So there was a bunch of questions here.
Ooh, that's a rare one on the
text
line.
Oh, you got a good point.
That's a rare one. Save that text. Save that text. Thank you.
It's from our buddy. It's from our refereeing buddy. let's talk about the college football stuff. Who will exceed expectations? We had a text earlier, Dakota, talking about in his mind, A&M and Texas are always those ones that kind of don't ever get there in regard to expectations.
Yes.
You know, he's right. They're always kind of those, they've always got the most to prove because of who they are now, even more so with the money that's flying around. I know if you're a Sooner fan, you hope that, like you said earlier off the air, Lebbeus Overton news from last night, probably not good. He just got back from his A&M visit, and now he's going to announce tomorrow his choice of college. Never has made it to OU with his brother. That was supposed to happen the 23rd. So that doesn't look like great news if you're a Sooner fan. But that just continues the buildup of A&M.
I just think it's a big April Fool's joke, but go ahead.
Boy, I hope you're right. But I do think that there's a lot of truth to that as far as them having things to prove. Now, in your mind, what team around the country do you think will exceed their expectations?
This coming year?
Yes.
This coming year? Exceed expectations. I think with a first-year head coach in the Pac-12, I do think it is going to be Oregon. You're going to think I was going to say the other team. I think Oregon. I think they were more in a solid position when Cristobal left them. And who was it, Lebby? No, I'm sorry, Lanning.
Yeah, Dan Lanning.
Who took over. Mm-hmm. I think they, you know, there's going to always be that, well, it's their first-year head coach. Anybody has a first-year head coach, even in Norman, there's going to be this, well, it's first year. So they might take a couple of losses or three or four losses that they're not expected to, whatever. I think Oregon might be better than what people are going to give them credit for when the season starts. I'll go with Oregon. How about you?
I will probably eat my words for this one because this seems to be a popular pick year in and year out. And it never has kind of taken hold. Oh man! Since this team has moved, but I will go with Nebraska.
Okay, kind of a desperate year.
It's a desperation year for Scott Frost.
Yeah, which could prove disastrous.
Here's the thing, though: they were 3-9 a year ago. That is true. 1, 2, 3, 4. 5, 6, 7, 8 of those 9 losses were one score games. And the other loss was a 9-point game. So 1 point away from every loss being one score losses. And just by averaging back to the mean of that thing, they end up with a 500 record. You know, I mean, mm-hmm. it's hard to lose all those games.
Yeah.
And guess what? They didn't win a single one of them. They won 52-7, they won 28-3, and they won 56-7. So it's not like there was any average to the mean. They lost them all. Every close game they played, they lost every single one of them. Couple that with the desperation for sure is there. And then who did they bring in?
Nebraska?
The quarterback. They brought in
Thompson.
Casey Thompson. Yeah. I was for sure. Yeah. And so I think that you're looking at a chance for Nebraska to actually be pretty decent. What are their expectations? What do you think if their expectations are 500?
Yeah.
I think that an 8-4 season is nowhere out of the realm of possibility. And I wouldn't be shocked if we don't notice that pretty quick around these parts, that Nebraska's going to be better than people think because they'll have that shot in Lincoln against OU.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to go with Nebraska. Who will underperform?
Well, the obvious answers are, like you said, Texas or Texas A&M. I'll go with, and I'll stick with the first-year head coach route, I'll go with LSU.
Man, they were on my list of exceed.
Really?
Yeah. Because of quarterback, it seems like if they ever have a decent quarterback, they're really, really good. And they're normally pretty good with terrible quarterback play. I'm probably not going to be a lot of people around here that are going to be happy with this one. But I'm going to go with OSU.
OSU.
If the expectation is Big 12 title.
Well, that is the expectation.
Isn't it?
That's all I've heard.
So I don't trust Sanders. I think there has to be a little bit of regression from that defense. And I know they got some guys in the portal off on offensive line-wise. Who's going to run the ball to take the pressure off of Sanders? I know they got those great weapons outside with all the receivers that are supposed to be good. Now they got to prove that they are good.
Yeah.
And we've seen that in Norman a lot where all these highly touted guys, oh, man, they're going to have receivers out the wazoo, and then you look up and nobody can catch it.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So I just think if Big 12 title is the expectation for OSU, I'm going to say they underperformed
but
to that.
Isn't that the way it goes in Stillwater?
It feels like that, too. That's my last point.
The beginning of last season.
When it's supposed to be good, it's not. When you're not sure, it's normally pretty good.
Yeah.
So they'll have to break that trend as well.
Yeah.
Which conference has the most to prove?
Pac-12.
I think Pac-12 ACC are the easy answers, right?
Yeah.
Here's who I'm going to say.
Pac-12, they made some big moves coaching-wise, obviously, in transfer portal-wise.
They haven't been in the playoffs since, what, Washington back in whatever that year is, 20.
I wasn't even working here.
15, yeah. 16, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm going to say it's the Big 12, and here's why. The Big 12 has made the playoff four times, and it's been Oklahoma every time.
Mm-hmm.
In the last 2 years, Oklahoma hasn't been as good. Iowa State, OSU, Baylor all had chances to kind of fill that void. None of them could do it. Now you look up, and we don't know if this is the last year or if there's a couple more, but whatever it is, someone is going to be forced to fill that void when Oklahoma's gone.
Yeah.
And if you couldn't do it, and if you couldn't do it with them and Texas from a financial standpoint, how are you going to do it without them? So yeah. It's time for it. Like, OSU needs to prove me wrong on that previous question and be that team. Or because it almost doesn't do any good for it to be Texas because they're not going to be there either.
Right.
So it's got to be a Baylor. It's got to be Texas or OSU.
You're
it's
not
be
so
one
much
of those.
Calling out a conference, but you're calling out eight teams.
Well, nine, but except for Texas gets the
right.
mulligan because they're leaving too.
Right.
If they weren't leaving, it's all on them.
Yeah.
And really and truly, it's almost calling them out because they were nowhere near in the position to take over for OU in these couple of years that are down. And then, you know, yes, you get the benefit of having the Cincinnati's and all that moving in, but look at the two teams that were pretty good in littler conferences. One of them was really good in a smaller conference, and for the most part have kind of been an afterthought in the Big 12 outside of a couple of ups. That's TCU, and that's West Virginia. Just because you move into a big conference doesn't mean – I mean, yeah, you gain some certain things financially for sure, but that doesn't guarantee you extend the success that you've had in the smaller conferences. Now you're bringing in four of those guys, one in a conference for the first time from being all out there on their own.
Right.
Doesn't guarantee anything. And so I think the Big 12 – has the most to prove outside of Oklahoma.
Can see that.
Somebody else do it. Somebody else do it.
And that's part of it's a perception thing too.
It is.
It's, you know, sometimes a two-loss Oklahoma is going to get in over a two-loss everybody else. Depending on the situation, you know.
And that's where
if the two-loss come early in the season, they rock rally off wins to win the title, Big 12 title, you know.
Well, and that's why the more helmets you can get in your conference that are proving something, the better chance you have at the end when it's all still voted on.
Totally agree.
Now, when all this happens, maybe that's a moot point because you've got a place at the table just by winning your conference.
Right.
And then all that doesn't make any difference outside of you, at least you give yourself a chance by winning that conference.
Yep.
Everybody have a great Thursday. We'll be back to wrap up the week tomorrow.
You've been listening to the Skinny on Sports podcast with Aaron Cowan. Be sure to hit that subscribe button to get alerts of when the latest podcast is available. Thanks for listening.